Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY21 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vaswani.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited for the Q3 and nine months of FY21. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will start with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the call for Q&A. A quick disclaimer before we begin: some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a note in this regard is contained in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier and have also been uploaded on the stock exchange websites. I would now turn the call over to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join our call. The earnings for the third quarter and nine months ended December 31st, 2020, were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, 2nd February 2021. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. As we indicated during the last quarter, the overall demand backdrop was robust, and we witnessed strong traction across all markets and products, especially from Tier 2 and below towns and cities. The home improvement theme has been resonating with consumers. Savings in disposable income for consumers due to restrictions on travel, entertainment, found its way to upgradation and renovation of homes. The limited impact of COVID in Tier 3 and below centers has allowed civil contractors, plumbing contractors, and interior home designers to re-engage with the consumer. Project sites, which gradually opened up during Q2, were in most cases fully operational. The impact of reduced interest rates for home loans at 7% and below has been the single most important factor for the surge in interest for new home purchases. We truly experienced the elasticity of demand in relation to cost of capital in real estate. Stamp duty reduction in a few geographies for a limited period made consumers bring forward their new home buying decisions. This resulted in a reduction in inventory at the company level. As the challenges posed by COVID-19 steadily reduced, we started witnessing a notable improvement in our performance. I'm happy to share that the positive rebound in demand we witnessed in Q2 FY21 from our most profitable verticals, that is, sanitaryware and faucetware businesses, continued to sustain into the third quarter as well. As we had shared, the sanitaryware business has exhibited signs of returning to growth, while the faucetware business continued with its positive trajectory of growth of the last many quarters pre-COVID. The media campaign on staycation at home, which was unfurled by the company from September 2019, directly connected with consumers post-lockdown. The company, however, could not take complete advantage and monetize the uptick in demand due to the partial disruption witnessed at the manufacturing facility. As intimated to the exchanges periodically during the quarter, a group of workers remained unauthorizedly absent from their duties with effect from 29th September 2020. Following this, on 16th October 2020, the Labor Department of the Government of Gujarat declared the disruption as illegal and directed the group of workers to resume their duties. The High Court supported this position and issued further directives, following which all workers have completely resumed their manufacturing activities from 22nd December 2020. Restoring the overall normalcy in production took longer than expected, and therefore Cera Sanitaryware's production and consequently performance for this quarter was impacted materially. The production of faucetware had been impacted marginally. Consistent efforts undertaken in the past to drive automation largely enabled the company to run its factory with the help of the available skeleton staff. To elaborate a bit further on this aspect, there have been several enhancements which we had undertaken at a manufacturing infrastructure at the plant. Processes such as pressure casting and sanitary ware and grinding, polishing, electroplating and faucet ware have been automated to enhance efficiency, consistency and finishing. There has been a strategy to develop agile infrastructure by leveraging a mix of in-house and outsourced facilities to enable us to rapidly respond to circumstances. This proved highly beneficial in the backdrop of the partial disruption, as we were able to increase volumes from our vendors to cater to the improved demand. The normal percentage of outsourcing in sanitary ware is 50 to 55%, and this quarter it rose to 77%. In faucet ware, the normal percentage of outsourcing is 50 to 55%, which rose to 59%. Certain high complexity products which are manufactured in-house were impacted, since these could not be outsourced. The production cycle for newer products at the vendor base involves mold making, establishing quality parameters, and thus takes 3 to 4 months. We estimate the partial disruption has led to lost sales of 65 crores and reduced EBITDA by 10 crores in Q3. Coming to our numbers, revenues in Q3 FY21 were 310 crores, lower by 2.5% on a sequential quarter basis. EBITDA, including other income, was 48 crores in Q3 from 44.4 crores reported in Q2 this year. The EBITDA margin has firmed up to 15.14% versus 13.8% in Q2 FY21, an increase of 134 basis points. PAT was rupees 29 crores in Q3 FY21 versus rupees 26.29 in Q2 FY21. Due to the sharp rebound in performance, the performance in Q3 this year has nearly reached parity when compared to Q3 last year, despite the challenging backdrop due to the partial disruption at the manufacturing facility. For Q3 FY21, the revenue for the quarter stood at 310 crores versus 321 crores in Q3 FY20, which is down by only 3.4% on a YOY basis. On a YOY basis, EBITDA excluding other income for Q3 FY21 was 40 crores versus 43 crores in Q3 FY20. The EBITDA margin for Q3 FY21 stood at 12.8%, lower by 53 basis points. Profit after tax for Q3 FY21 is 29 crores against YOY number of rupees 28 crores. EPS for Q3 was rupees 22.37 versus 21.81 in Q3 FY19-20. For Q3 FY21, 45% of the top line was from sanitary ware, 28% from faucet ware, tiles represented 24% and wellness 3%. On a YOY basis, sanitary ware revenues registered a decrease of 5%, faucet ware revenues increased by 7.7%, tiles declined by 6.6%, and wellness declined by 37.1%. Contribution from sanitary ware was impacted in Q3 due to the one-off disruption. However, Cera's ability to tap into its vendor ecosystem led to increased outsourcing. And with the continued growth from faucetware, these two verticals remain the bedrock of the business with contribution of 73% to revenues. Inventory days in Q3 FY21 were 53.88 days compared to 52.83 days in Q3 FY20. Receivable days in Q3 FY21 were 53.93 days versus 58.34 days. Payable days in Q3 were 46.25 days against 39 days in Q3 FY20. Therefore, net working capital days in Q3 FY21 was 61.56 days versus 72.17 days in Q3 of FY20. Those of you closely tracking Cera are aware that this has been a focus area for the company, which has required considerable effort over the last few quarters. Initiatives such as digitization and established localized warehousing have enabled us to offer just-in-time inventory to trade partners and large customers. This has enabled de-bottlenecking at the dealer locations and customer sites, leading to faster and smaller billing cycles for Cera, enabling better receivable management. The company was able to further increase its liquidity position to 409 crores as on 31st December 2020 from 362 crores as on 30th September 2020. To conclude, overall, the sector fundamentals are strong and the domestic demand continues to grow at a steady pace. As we look ahead, we continue to see an immense potential for our products. Healthy demand coupled with our strong positioning in the industry should enable sustained traction. On the whole, we are confident of the future growth potential and opportunities across our markets over the medium to long term. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, the digital investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Ms. Omkar Kulkarni, you may please go ahead with your question, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah.
The line is unmuted.
Yeah. So I wanted to know how the current scenario is panning out now the disruption at the facility is over. So how do you think your growth can be, like say next couple of quarters?
See, the first and most glaring thing about the demand scenario is there was demand much in excess of available products and in excess of supply. So not only in Q3, but going forward for at least the next 2-3 quarters, our estimate is demand is way ahead of our ability to supply, even though we are back on a three-shift basis from 22nd December. And outsourcing partners in India and abroad are working on a full steam basis. So given the sudden surge in demand from projects and retail customers for the foreseeable future, there is going to be no dearth of demand. Inventory both at the dealer level and at the company level is going to be as close to zero as possible and practical across a vast number of products. So demand has proven to be very, very elastic. The single largest factor, of course, is the interest rate scenario. We've always talked about how the interest rate sensitive sectors behave, but we have never tested this theory with a sub 7% below home loan regime. So given that the home loan regime will stay below 7%, which is the most likely scenario, demand will outstrip supply for the next few quarters. And that is reflective not only in the shortage of products in Q3, but the surge in numbers post reopening on 22nd December. So January was a fantastic month and all indications for the balance 2 months of Q4 are very strong and at least for the next 2-3 quarters.
So the capacity utilization was 100%?
You see, capacity utilization, I'll give you the numbers. We had only 9 full working days in the quarter in the sanitaryware facility because of the partial disruption, which we kept on informing our stakeholders from time to time. So on a 90-day basis, sanitary ware was at a capacity utilization of 20%. And faucet ware was at a capacity utilization of 58%. But our trade partners and vendors were operating at as close to full capacity as possible. And from 22nd December, we have been working three shifts. It's taken some time for the molds of plaster and Paris to be remade, etc. So from January is when full supply lines have been restored.
Okay, so excluding this unforeseen scenario, you would have grown by around 13-14% on the top line, I guess.
Yes, we estimate that we lost sales of about 65 crores, and these lost sales of 65 crores are all high-end complicated products which are made in our own manufacturing facility. So they couldn't have been substituted by products from our vendors. So
Okay.
other than this 65 crores, which is in our mind a one-off event, Q4 onwards you'll see normalcy in production sales, and all efforts will be made to best monetize the available demand scenario.
So whatever you are saying, at least a double-digit growth can be seen, right?
See, we'll be little careful about making any kind of prediction about Q4 and beyond in terms of numericals. We'll wait for that scenario to actually take place and then take a view from there.
All right. The second question is on the liquidity position. I mean, you are sitting comfortably on quite a huge amount of cash. I would like to know how you would be deploying or rewarding investors now that even dividend distribution tax has been abolished, and what has been your dividend policy of, say, around giving back how much you have I mean, what is the percentage, say, 30-40% of the total cash? So what has been your policy of dividend?
See, our past policy has been 15-18% of PAT has normally been given out as dividend if you look at the last 6 years.
Yeah.
But on the face value of 5 rupees, we have normally given out last 3 years 13 rupees, so that's 260% on face value. So that, of course, the board will take a call as and when the year closes. And yes, we understand the point that liquidity has been growing in every quarter, even in Q1 where we got less than 45 days of actual working, and in Q2 where bulk of our project customers continued to remain closed, liquidity was enhanced. Even in Q3 where our factory was as good as disrupted and partially closed for 82 days out of 90 days, we increased our cash. So that is the outcome of very careful working capital management, inventory management, receivable management, and increasing the payable days. Going forward, if working capital were to expand because we might want to stock up on little higher inventory, etc., we may not see this kind of addition to cash going forward. And currently, there are no real concrete plans in front of the board of utilizing the cash, whether in the form of a buyback or dividend or any kind of CapEx. So the normal CapEx program continues. Now I'll give you just some figures on the normal CapEx program. The beginning of the year, we had indicated that the CapEx program for this year is 21.82 crores. But out of that, only 5.96 crores have been spent.
Okay.
And in Q4, only another 6 crores are being planned to be spent. So a total of 12 crores is being spent this year out of a allocated budget of 21.82 crores. So CapEx is also low, and you know, we have developed an ecosystem where we have agile infrastructure on tap capacity. So in most of the products, especially in the low-end non-complicated products, we have been able to use this agile infrastructure. The vendors cannot have the same level of skill and sophistication in the factory that the company has. So which is why the disruption hit us to the extent of 65 crores.
Okay, just like the cash you have sitting, so it would be beneficial for the shareholders if you increase the payout ratio from 15-18% to around 25-30%.
Well, all those various options I'm sure will be considered by the board before a final decision is taken and once the 12-month numbers are available.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, I missed the commentary on a couple of things, if you could clarify. One, you mentioned that the sanitaryware growth in the quarter was -7%, whereas faucets grew. That's how you put it, and tiles and wellness declined. That's how you put the numbers?
I'll just repeat the numbers. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware declined by 5%, and faucetware went up by 7.66%. Tiles went down by 6.5%, and wellness, on a very small base of 7 crores, went down by 37%.
Okay. So what grew in the quarter was basically faucet at 8%.
Yes. In sanitaryware, we would have been close to 200 crores. Instead of 140 crores.
Okay.
Actually not had that one-time disruption.
And what was the loss of days of production in case of sanitaryware?
82 days out of 90 days were operating at below 20% capacity.
Okay. So adjusting for the two, it seems that you would have grown about 14-15% for the quarter. Lot of the products in the building material space, whatever commentaries that we are hearing, are indicating towards comfortably double digit growth rate, high double digit growth rate in the forthcoming quarters. So do you ascribe to the same opinion, especially in the fact that you would have taken about 4-5% price hike both in sanitaryware and faucetware, if I recall, in the last quarter, plus there is this value mix possibility. So some percentage outlook if you would share, and if you could share the outlook on the costing or the RMC side, if any pressure or if you want to, is there in the business.
Okay, so I'll just come to price hike and RMC and then go to the demand scenario. And anywhere our last price hike was in August 2020, which is 3-5%. And the next increase is from February, 1st February. 5-7%. In faucetware, the price increase, last price increase.
Mr. Chheda, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but may I please request you to mute your line? There's a lot of disturbance from your audio. Thank you. So you may please proceed.
In faucetware, again, the price increase is from 1st February of 8-10%. And now coming to the raw material scenario. 50% of raw material is China clay and sanitaryware, where there has been no change. 45% again is feldspar, where there has been no change both in price and availability. In color and glaze, again no change. Zinc, which is 1% of sanitaryware raw material, is up by 10% in 9 months. Plaster of Paris, again, which is little more than 1% of sanitaryware RM, is up 7% in 9 months. What is up is the freight element in all of this. The freight element is up significantly. As far as faucetware is concerned, brass is very volatile, and brass plus the cartridge and washers are 55-60% of the cost of production. Brass, which is let's say 90% of that 55-60%, is up by 12% in 9 months. And Zamac, which is 10% of raw material faucetware, is up by 23%. As far as wellness is concerned, ABS-based products such as health faucets, showers have gone up by 160%. Stainless steel, which is used in towel racks, shower arms and other accessories, is up by 25%. So all this will be negated by the 1st February price hike that we have taken of 5-7% in sanitaryware and 8-10% in faucetware. Now coming to the demand scenario, 10% plus demand is easily achievable. That's a very conservative number. You can tell from our top line of 318 crores that if we missed out on 65 crores of sales, the additional sales would have been more than 20%, 18 to 20% of YOY Q3 last year. So going forward, the next 2-3 quarters and maybe even beyond, if interest rates are here to stay below 7% for home loans, demand for both new launches, projects in the last stage of completion and the home improvements is here to stay. So demand will not be a problem for companies like Cera and brands like Cera, which have established products and lines of distribution. Now, just feeding the demand will require all our energies.
You took what price hike in faucetware in August?
No, there was no price hike in faucetware in August.
So this is the first hike of 10%?
Yes. 8-10. Before that, it was an April review. Okay. Numbers we shared in the previous quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal from Pareto Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on a good set of performance in these trying circumstances. So I actually had a couple of questions. First, a small clarification. You mentioned that due to the production disruption, we lost about 65 crores of sales and 10 crores on EBITDA. Is that correct?
Hmm.
So my confusion over here is that typically when your gross margins are about 50%, though this quarter is a bit higher, and one would normally expect that all the expenses below the gross margin should be a clean pass-through. So how should we read this? I mean, do we assume that the gross margins on the lost production or the lost sales are lower?
No. In fact, the lost sales constitute 65% of factory-made products where the gross margin is the highest. So sanitaryware, in any case, is the highest grossing business, after which is faucetware, then comes the blended average, and then comes tiles.
Yeah.
But we have, for calculation's sake, taken 15% or 65 crores, because that is the best number to estimate the previous historical EBITDA margins.
Yeah. Okay.
So we said that based on 65 crores of top-line losses, 10 crores would have been the impact on EBITDA.
We're going by the historical EBITDA margin trend to estimate the EBITDA loss.
Yes.
Got it. So second thing that I noticed is gross margin has gone up. So I did miss part of your commentary on the previous question on how the gross, on the cost elements. But I see your gross margin has inched up in this quarter vis-a-vis the previous quarter.
Right.
So then if you're expecting that sanitary wear would be having a still higher margin, so would we be safe enough to assume that margins can actually inch further up from here?
See, we have not seen this kind of demand scenario after 2012.
Hmm.
After 8 years, we are now witnessing a scenario where it's difficult to meet the demand.
Hmm.
So in that scenario, every company is only focusing at production and sourcing and somehow monetizing this demand. So similarly, Cera is also doing that. So in Q4, you will see the benefits of that, and going forward, you will see substantial inroads being made into the markets because of this trend. So 2-3 philosophies that we have been talking about last 8 quarters, like non-reliance on Chinese import, all those things have now become important. So for example, now sanitary ware has a 10% import duty on sanitary ware and 15% in faucetware. So those things, it's a matter of time before they rise, just like they are rising in most other sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And our dependence on total imports are less than 5% of top line, versus our peer group, which has between 25 to 40% of complicated products being imported. So all those things are now going to be important for the company.
Got it. That's helpful. So another question that I have is, you mentioned about a very strong demand and that, you know, we're running at 3 shifts and despite unable to meet the demand. So I was seeing in March 2019, you had a gross turnover of 417 odd crores. So, were there some one-offs in that number, or given that, you know, you're producing more at full capacity, how can I compare myself with that March 2019 quarter if I can?
See, we had 418 crores of top line, which was also a great number, despite the fact that we lost 120 crores of top line due to the last 10 days of March.
I'm saying about March 2019.
Oh, sorry, March 19.
Yeah.
We had 297 crores of top line versus 418 crores the previous year.
Yeah,
and
so
the difference was 120 crores of top line lost due to last 10 days of March.
No, so, actually my question was a little different. I'll just rephrase it. So in March 2019, we clocked about 417 crores. Since then, our product basket has become wider. And I'm pretty sure we've also added more partnerships on the sourcing side. And currently, as you mentioned, that we are running at 3 shifts and all our production chain is completely occupied. So given that, would it be fair to say that our revenues can actually exceed the 420 crores that we got in March 2019 by a healthy margin?
Well, all efforts are in that direction, but I'll be careful before putting a numerical value to it. If you look at the trends of January, yes, they are definitely possible. January was about 20% higher than the previous year. January 21 was 20% higher than the previous year.
That's helpful. Just one final question before I get back in the queue. Due to the production disruption, I mean, how much working capital change you would have seen, and where do you see that get back to now that you've resumed normal production?
We might need to deploy a little more capital in RM and WIP and little more in inventory to avoid a situation of any lost sales or sudden surge in demand in any part of the country. So the cash that we've been adding to treasury every quarter, that may not be evident in Q4, but that number is yet to be known.
Got it. Sure. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Patwa from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Good morning, sir, and thanks for taking the question. Just one small clarification. This 65 crores number which you mentioned, was this an institutional sales or a distributor sales, or is it just a demand scenario based on your forecast? Basically, the idea is to understand how much of this will spill over in Q4 and beyond.
This is a mix of project and retail sales, primarily retail sales, because most of our project customers were able to stagger their supply schedules. So we didn't have too much impact on projects. It was primarily retail sales.
Okay, so this will get spread out over time, or some of which may we have actually lost also maybe because of some consumer which would have bought somewhere else possibly.
Yes, on a retail basis, yes, but on a project basis, they've spread out their, these are large projects and they can easily spread out their procurement schedules. So that's what we've done for projects.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archana Gure from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. Sir, you have been consistently talking about demand being very strong. Sir, can you just throw some more light on, on the demand front for the mid and high-end products in sanitary and faucet? And also, has the sales been back to pre-COVID level for us from urban and tier 1 cities?
I can give you a Q3 breakup, though Q3 is not so relevant. I can give you a breakup of what happened in Q3. Entry was 30% of sales, mid was 12%, and premium was 59% of sales, which included, it's a blended average of sanitaryware and faucetware. And if you want a breakup within sanitaryware and faucetware, even that I have available. Sanitaryware was 26.5% entry, 10.2% mid, and 63.3% premium. Faucetware was 33.8% entry, 13.9% mid, and 52.3% premium. Now, if you look at the demand trends, Jan to Jan comparison, there was a difference of 20%. Even though the plant in 8 days of working did not come up to full production. Mm-hmm. So, again in January, we could not cater to the entire demand. And going forward, demand is rising at such a pace that I don't think any company can cater to complete demand, because nobody has idle capacity, and even vendors take a long time in ramping up their capacity or production. And as far as outsourcing is concerned, we have identified products that can be outsourced where our QC teams are comfortable that so-and-so vendor can make these products at a particular cost, quality, and pass all the QC tests. Asking those vendors to suddenly increase the number of products or use different molds takes minimum 12 to 15 weeks. So that's not an overnight process. So that process is also on. In Q3, lot of our vendors in the Morbi area continue to have labor shortage. So though we didn't have labor shortage per se, the Morbi area for sanitary ware vendors was not running at full capacity.
Sure, sir. And so your comment on the sales from urban and tier 1 for us, has it come back to pre-COVID level?
Well, January, if January is an indicator, yes, we are 20% higher. So okay. Pre-COVID January 20 and comparable to January 21 is 20% higher. Demand will not be an issue going forward. It will only be catering to the demand.
Sure.
And see, after 2012, we had a conscious effort of focusing on the retail customer. But we find now that the project customer has come back very, very strong. And these are large orders of large national players. So that is a welcome development. It's happened after 8 years.
Sure, sir. So my second question was on the margin front. So which are the levers apart from maybe the increase in price hike you'll be looking at, if I just want to calculate it, say 100 or 150 bits EBITDA margin expansion going forward from. So what are the levers you are looking at, how we should look at the numbers going forward? You are saying, you're talking about demand and then price hike. So how one should look at the numbers going forward?
There are 2-3 things. One will be top line growth. One will be share of sanitary ware and faucet ware. If that remains around 75% and above, then of course the margin profile will be very good, because sanitary ware and faucet ware both have an excellent margin profile. And third, of course, de-risking the model by doing maximum cash and carry sales. So currently, on a weighted average basis, more than 50% are cash and carry, cash discount billing kind of sales. And if that trend continues, then the working capital cycle will be well taken care of. And the final thing, of course, is our CapEx model. So if we can keep the CapEx budget in that 40-45 crore region going forward, I'm talking about 2 years from now, in 2021, the budget is yet to be finalized, but that number will be very conservative.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Zare from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just one, again on demand side, last year we had seen around sales growth of 120 crores in the month of March itself. So, and given the, such an improved improved demand scenario, I think would we be disappointed with maybe a revenue growth of less than 40% in the fourth quarter? Is that a fair understanding, or is it too early to say, sir?
See, fourth quarter prediction, we'll wait for things to take place. The early trends are January numbers, which are behind us, and that's 18 to 20% increase. So that's the best indicator of what is happening in Q4.
And given our majority of sales happened in the last fortnight of the March, so that is still far away, right?
Yes, and the last year's number were 297 crores, which is a very low base.
Right. On a low base, yes. On a low base.
On a low base, we can exceed this number quite dramatically, but again, we'll wait for the numbers to play out before taking a view.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. And sir, secondly, on our tiles volume, so what explains, sir, a decline in tiles volume, sir? Because given the industry has seen, at least for the larger organized players, has witnessed at least a double-digit growth, if not double-digit, high single-digit growth in volume. So what explains the decline for us, sir?
Two things. Our share of GVT has gone up to 36%, and share of soluble salt has declined to only 6%. And share of double charge is 19%. Wall tiles is 29%, and balance tiles is 10%. So that explains the move to high-end tiles. That's one. Secondly, the move to cash and carry sales.
Okay. But I think this cash and carry trend has been across for all the players, if I'm not wrong. Even for the unorganized players, that has been the case. And also, another thing, I think we were operating at mid-single-digit EBITDA margin, especially in tiles. So do we see improved profitability going ahead in next year, or can we reach, say, a lower double-digit EBITDA margins in this segment, sir?
We can definitely reach a high single-digit EBITDA margin in tiles. And the pluses that we have are very different from other players. You'll have to look at us very differently. We have deployed no capital capacity. We have no capacity on our own balance sheet. So if you look at the two JVs where we have an equity commitment, that caters to 35% of our top line in tiles, and the balance 65% is purely outsourced third parties. So that is a de-risk model where you cannot have the risks or the advantages associated with having your own capacities.
Right. Got it. And sir, what was our ad spend for FY21?
Just say that again.
Sir, our ad spend budget for FY21 and FY22, if possible.
FY21, normally it's about 4% of top line. That varies from quarter to quarter. So normally at the end of the year, it all equalizes to about 4% of top line. And that has been consistent across many years. It will change quarter to quarter.
Okay. I thought for given in the first half of COVID, that could have been lower for this year.
Yes. It was lower for this year. And given the demand scenario, that kind of spending may not be required when there's actually a shortage of products. So we'll see what finally emerges at the end of the year. But 4% is the best way to look at this number.
Okay, sir. Got it. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just on this extending this tiles volume decline, revenue decline, so is it then fair to assume you spoke about de-risk business, then over the medium to long term, this tiles business might not be able to grow in line with industry? Probably we will remain in the probably low single digit or such kind of growth, considering our lack of willingness to put incremental capital in this business. And secondly, just related to that, is there challenges on the outsourcing front in this business because Morbi is fairly full of export order? So that's number one question from my end.
See, Morbi, if you look at the total tiles industry, it's let's say 42,000-45,000 crores of own. Exports are only 12,000-14,000 crores out of 42,000 crores. So domestic demand is still two and a half times the export entire market. And there's no shortage of production. In fact, two, three things have happened in Morbi in tiles. The switch from coal to gas, which was looking like a very painful procedure, has now become very painless, even in the face of rising gas prices, because most of these 700-800 plants are now operating at very high capacity utilization, and they have found markets for all their products. So that is a welcome development. The industry is getting not only size but much more efficient. That's one. And as far as sourcing of those tiles is concerned, we have ample supply lines for sourcing. It is about now just managing your receivable days, inventory days, and ensuring that there is a certain EBITDA margin on every transaction of tiles purchase and sale.
I would like to interrupt, because lot of your peers in tiles are also focused on receivable days and working capital and has rather shown improvement in working capital across the industry. So in that backdrop, the decline in tiles revenue frankly looks slightly perplexing, because are we rather more conservative compared to the existing players in tiles? That's how we should read it. So if you can help around that.
If you are comparing Cera Tiles, which is a 300 crore and below business, to companies which are either 1700 crore or 3000 crores, those companies have been in the tiles business for 30-40 years, where their brand name is almost like a generic name for tiles. We have been in this business for 6-7 years, and the brand premium in the tiles industry in any case is much lower compared to faucetware and sanitaryware. And the Cera Tiles brand premium is nowhere near the top 3-4 names in the industry. So that is the major difference in pricing power and therefore all on size. Okay. If we increase our receivable days, of course, we can take this to a 500 crore business, but then that's not something we would like to do.
Okay, so my second question, I think one point you made in the sense rather consistently made in this call is that regarding the demand supply mismatch and fair bit of strong demand trend that you are witnessing. Now, if I look at the other building material category, I think that has also shown, lot of building material companies are also showing the similar demand trend, and lot of them obviously have reached their margin guidance, or probably are talking about margin, potential margin way higher than their historically that they have made. So against that backdrop, do you think that something like that could be possible in sanitary, or do you think there's small, the unorganized segment is relatively not that big in sanitary, so that is not possible in this case? That will be right.
In sanitary, where the biggest gainers will be the top 4 brands with this kind of market expansion. And even amongst the top 4 brands, those who can monetize this demand environment, who can work on their supply lines. So the unorganized market in sanitaryware in any case is below 30%. The price difference between the organized and unorganized in low-end products is 500 to 1000 rupees for products that are going to have a life of 20 years. And of course, there are associated QC, after sales service, warranty issues that only organized players can afford. So given all those factors, unorganized is not a threat. Now it is about grabbing market share from one another and grabbing a share of incremental market share in the growth of the market.
Yeah, so that's what I was coming to, that in other product categories, there's a larger unorganized segment where there's a disruption and those companies are benefiting. That is not possible probably as you highlighted in sanitaryware, but in that backdrop, since you guys will be probably competing against organized players itself, do you think that margin improvement looks possible, or in the sense can margin expansion is possible against that backdrop?
It depends on each company's operating leverage. In our case, only 20% of our total costs are fixed and 80% are variable. So yes, there will be a difference with increase in top line. It will not be that dramatic in a company where capacity utilization is low and fixed costs are very high. But the fight will be between the top 4 players.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Avast from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to understand, obviously, you've had some issues with the employees in the last quarter or so. I just wanted to understand, has that been resolved? What is the issue that they have? Would you need to take some sort of salary hikes or anything for that to get resolved? That was question one. I also wanted to understand, you mentioned that your own production facilities got hit and where you make high-end products. Now, if this comes back on stream, are the margins in this business higher than your current overall margins of around 14%? So those were the two questions that I had.
See, we had disruption in our main manufacturing facility of sanitary ware in Mehsana from 29th of September, which was the second last day of Q2, and that resulted in the bulk of the workforce being absent. From that day onwards, we approached the government of Gujarat, where the Labour Ministry conducted hearings, called all the sides, including the union management, all of that, and gave an order on 16th of October saying that the disruption is illegal and all the labour should immediately report to work. When that didn't happen, the matter reached High Court, and after extensive hearings, the High Court gave an order on 22nd December asking all the workers to join, which they did. So from that day onwards, we have started three shift working, but that was only the last 9 days out of the 90 days of the quarter. There was no increase in either fixed or variable, so there was no change in any of the commercial terms of the workers, and the disruption caused, of course, immense production loss to the company to the extent of at least, we estimate, 65 crores in top line losses. In an environment where there was plentiful demand from retail and project customers. So the consequent impact on EBITDA, if you look at 15% of the company's average EBITDA over the 6-7 years, then the EBITDA loss we estimate was 10 crores. But the company stood by whatever agreements were in place, and there was no change in any commercial or any other non-cash terms of any kind. Going forward, the commercials for the labor remain the same. Three shift working is on. That currently is still not enough to cater to the demand in January and a few days of February. Going forward with the new interest rate regime, we feel that demand will dramatically be higher than supply going forward. So all efforts will be made to somehow monetize this demand.
Right. I just wanted to understand, since it's your own production and you'll not be outsourcing, would this be higher margin than your current business? And again, on the labor, I understand that they have come back. But I just wanted to understand, what is their grievance for doing that? And, you know, how would you, you know, stop that from happening in the future? I just wanted to understand that.
Before this, the last disruption was in 2002, so it's happened after a period of 18 years. That's number one. The reason for the disruption was simple. The same union was also in the plant of Hitachi, which is adjacent to our plant, where Hitachi had given a substantial increase in fixed wages after a disruption. So they expected that Cera would follow suit if a disruption would take place. That didn't happen. That was the only grievance. And as far as margins are concerned, margins for our own production, even on high-end pieces, etc., are almost similar to our outsourced pieces, which continued throughout this period of Q3. In most quarters, if you follow the company, 50 to 55% of sanitary ware is outsourced. This number became 77% because of the percentage of own production decreasing.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitary Ware Limited. Cera remains positive that its strong positioning in the industry and improving macros would help it to deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. With this, I hope I've been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Before I close, on behalf of, thank you very much once again. for joining the call, and see you all next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.